The Football Sack.
Hello and welcome to the Football Sack podcast, the sack on Sunday. I got it right. I didn't call that in Beyond the 90 this week. I've been copping stick left, right and centre. Speaking of, in front of me, in the centre of the studio, behind the buttons, behind the switches, Pete Novakovsky.
Yes, on the decks yet again.
Who else would it be?
I don't know. We actually fired our previous producer. When Matt G and I actually did our podcast ourselves, we fired our producer because
really?
They were rubbish.
Really?
So I just took over.
Yeah. Look, and the show's never been in better shape.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's so nice to me.
Look, the buttons, the rant button, you've got the rant button ready. We're going to have a double rant this episode. It's going to be
rant.
There's a lot of anger. We're not victory fans, but there is a lot of anger.
There is.
And on my left, a special guest today. From Brisbane, from 101 FM Songs and Goals, a bloke we speak to a fair bit, Pete.
Yeah, we do.
Paul Fredrickson. How you doing, Paul?
Howdy ho. Good, guys.
And the thing is, he actually flew down all the way from Brisbane just for this podcast.
Just for the podcast.
How awesome is that?
There is not a Brisbane Roar game on this afternoon, is there? Like, nah. Like,
no,
nah.
No, why would Brisbane Roar be playing on a Sunday?
Like, yeah. That'd be stupid. In Sydney,
I like the fact you say it's a Brisbane Roar game, though, because, you know, theoretically it is a Brisbane Roar game. You guys are just along for the ride.
Oh, that's sting. Well, look, we will get onto that in just a moment. I had a dream about this particular game, and we will talk about that in a moment. But there have been some big results this round. We have had Adelaide United losing at home to the Central Coast Mariners 4-0, a huge statement of intent. Paul, what do you think about the Central Coast Mariners?
Well, they've got to be a major chance to win the competition. They've got fantastic style formation. They've got veterans. They've got young people. And they're strong. If they don't go very close, something's gone drastically wrong with injuries this season.
They've got an amazing set of players, and they're playing a system that is very much, we can now say, is Graham Arnold-esque. He's got a plan, he's got his identity as a coach, and they're starting to play some dangerous football. They're starting to put away some teams in Central Coast style.
Yeah, so, things are definitely starting to work for Graham Arnold, that's for sure. Previously, when he first started with Central Coast, people were a bit sceptical and wondering, after his stint as the national team coach, whether or not it would actually work out, but club day-to-day management, he's fantastic at the moment.
It's a bit like Ange. You know, we kind of all went, when Ange and Graham Arnold joined the league in 1 year, it was last year, the start of last year, we kind of went, they're going to probably have, well, this is what I said anyway about Graham Arnold, they'll have a year or two, run a club into the ground, and then never be seen again in coaching. How wrong was I? They are two of the leading lights in Australian football management.
And Graham Arnold, with that, I think very much his club is like his moustache. It's well-formed, but a bit rough around the edges. So that's pretty good. And you said about Ange. He was actually came in just the season before when Frank Farina was sacked.
Yep.
And got rid of
everybody.
Veterans, got rid of everyone.
You thought, what is he doing to a club?
Well, you've got to give credit to the Brisbane board, because Craig Moore, and I do love Craig Moore, went to the board and said, get rid of Ange.
Yep.
And Ange said no. Sorry, not Ange. Of course he said no. The board said no. We're sticking by Ange.
Yep.
And they went. And I just think that's fantastic. I don't think people have given the Brisbane board that credit for that.
And if you look at the Melbourne Victory board, they've got to make some wholesale changes themselves. We'll get onto that again as well in just a few moments. But the Central Coast Mariners have off-field problems. They've got issues with money, but it does not affect their on-field game. And we had it this week. Graham Arnold was saying, we just focus on football. And it's never been truer. He is just supremely good at running the on-field side of the game, when the financials are apparently, by all reports, not doing so well at the moment.
Yeah, well, Central Coast, they keep going strength to strength, as you say. Mustafa Amini is probably the standout player who's doing everything right. And I guess the biggest problem now is, if he keeps doing everything right, Borussia Dortmund will actually say, come on over a bit early.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest thing that could actually happen. Whether or not it will is another thing. But Bernie Abeniyese is another guy who is getting a lot of praise. Like, Mark Vidurkic as well has come out lately and said he is going to be the next big thing as long as he stays on the track.
Well, that's one of my favourite things about Sydney. Yesterday when we went shopping, I ended up getting a Mark Viduka replica doll for $4.99.
No way. Where'd you get that?
From Pete's toy store or something in the middle of the city.
Yeah, right.
Seriously,
on.
It's like Dirty Old Pete's toy store.
Well, man, I'd go and buy a Mark Viduka, little Mark Viduka figurine. I reckon that'd be wicked.
I wonder if I actually go to this Pete's store, whether or not I'll get a discount.
You should.
My name's Pete.
I can't believe you don't know about it. I was going to take a photo for you yesterday. I should have done it.
I think you should have. All right, we're all going after this podcast has been recorded and edited and published online.
Yeah.
We are going to Pete's toy store to buy ourselves Mark Viduka figurines.
Well, and we'll take them to the Sydney-Brisbane game this afternoon, which we're all going to. I can't wait for that one. It's just going to be such a great game. At a real football ground, really close to the action. We will get onto that game in a moment. I keep trying to get ahead of myself. But yeah, Perth Glory. Perth Glory had a, well, before, even before that, before Perth Glory, we had Newcastle Jets 3-1 over Melbourne Victory. A game which could have gone the other way. It was 2-1 and you had Archie Thompson advancing on goal. You had all of the blue and white brigade going, this is it, this is it, this is it. And Topple Stanley just went, nah. I'm gonna be a hero. I'm gonna slide tackle him. Oh wait, I've got another leg. I'm gonna clatter Archie Thompson.
Yeah, well, Nicolo Topolsani, who else would you expect to make a challenge like that? It's just in his character to do stupid things like that.
I think it was the hair. I think it just overbalanced him.
It gets in his eyes.
Yeah.
I think it blinds him.
And the referee saw that.
Yeah. Oh, the referee must have seen it. But let's not forget, Topper Stanley had a massive slug on his upper lip as well last week. Now without the slug from November.
Aerodynamic.
Yeah. He forgot. It changed all his balance and his dynamics. But all stupid, pathetic jokes aside, that was a massive call. It was a huge call. It was a clear penno. And I'd say Topper Stanley was very lucky to remain on the park.
What is it with Melbourne Victory games that attracts so many bad decisions or so many controversial decisions? Does it get into the referee's mind that there's a history this season of Melbourne Victory games where there's controversial decisions and they're scared to make them? Like last night, it looked like the referee was scared to make that decision.
Well, let's not forget they got about 15 penalties last week in the game at home.
That is true.
they were almost up 3-0 to penalties. I mean, it was just tremendous. So it kind of, to an extent, did even out, but that was a massive call. It could have been 2-2, and Djokovic would have made much happier with that.
But Newcastle Jets did get a 3-1 result, and we can't praise Newcastle enough for getting these results. Their spectators had a fantastic banner advertised across the stadium before the game, which looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
We also had we just had Ryan Griffiths, who keeps performing really, really well. And
amazing
he's
footballer.
Got to be pushing into a local-based Socceroos squad very soon if he continues these performances.
Yeah, he does. He does. We saw it in the very first week with that cracking free kick. He's a great footballer. He's got great skills. The Griffiths boys can play football. We know that. There's three of them. They're a phenomenal family.
Isn't this credit to Holger Osek and the Socceroos lineup that, a year or two ago we were talking about local players not being good enough. Now there's an absolute depth of attacking midfielders and strikers, and it's one of the most exciting times in Socceroos history in that regard.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many players who could play. And the moment I think that that golden 2006 generation all decide to put their hand up and say that's us, that we're spent, we'll get into management or punditry.
Or get a massive deal from the A-League and not perform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, then you're going to
play in Thailand like Robbie Fowler.
Wow. What a call. What a call from Robbie Fowler that was. But look, honestly, when those guys put their hands up and say, that's me spent, there's so many young kids who are coming through the system. And Ryan Griffiths, he's no spring chicken, but he will legitimately put his hand up for that striking spot.
Well, I might step one step back on that. We always talk about attacking midfielders and so forth, but we've got an actual depth of young defenders coming through as well. So that's going to be a good thing. That's something we haven't had in many years because our legs in the Socceroos lineup are starting to get a little bit old.
Hmm. Yeah, spot on. And there are a lot of guys coming through. Matty German for me is the standout. And lost him from Sydney FC to Brisbane Roar. He's such
How
a good defender.
How did you let him go? I mean, we've got a Bahrainian centre-back who Matt German and him are fighting for a spot on Brisbane Roar's team.
Mm.
And it's put Mohamed Adnan, who has looked brilliant since he's come to us, on the bench.
Yeah.
This is a Bahrainian international. Matt German's keeping him out of the Brisbane Roar team.
And he's played a lot of games for Bahrain, like over, I think, 70 caps. And Matty German hasn't got one yet. And he is just...
I wouldn't expect him to get a cap for the Bahraini international team.
No, it would be hard. But he's taller
dual citizenship.
Yeah. He looks taller in a Brisbane Roar top than he did a Sydney one. I don't know if it's a goal or not.
Yeah, well, look, Lavichka doesn't bring the youth through very well. We know that Ian Ramsey is another one that's flown the coop. And I'm glad that Terry Antonis, it's taken a player of a generation to come through.
But is he being handled well? Because he's actually going to be missing today's game, I believe. I know we're going to come to that a little bit later, but yeah. is he being handled well?
He's being rested because he's gone everywhere with the young Socceroos. He's been to Dubai. He's come home again and he needs a rest. We saw with Mustafa Amini as well. He needed a rest after the World Cup.
I believe he may be tired from his Westfield experiences in Sydney as well. That shopping centre is really big.
They're pretty massive. Yeah.
It is. You can get lost in there for hours. It's like if Matt Simon played centre mid, he'd be lost in there for hours.
And we're not sponsored by Westfield.
No. But, tremendous result for Newcastle. Let's not forget that Gary Van Egmond has been in the seat for not very long at all. So a good result for them.
And grounded Gary Van Egmond in the Socceroos culture, having coached the junior teams and having the same philosophy. If I was a Newcastle fan, I'd be very, very excited about the next couple of years.
Oh, spot on. And it's a shame that they lost Branko and Jason in the same week. And Jason's still contracted, although they tried to tear it up. There's been no news on it.
Yeah. All hush hush.
There hasn't even been a settlement reached, you know, because we would know because he's a Socceroo. If it was done and dusted, I reckon there'd be a host of clubs going, when you're fit again, you can come and, you know, run.
I think there's some
us.
Legal ramifications in this one that we're not hearing anything due to those legal ramifications, to be honest.
But if he was available, and he would have signed his deed of release and we would have had an amicable settlement. He would have made the news, and I reckon there'd be a lot of clubs who'd see him as a player for the future.
I think his knee's worse than you think. I think clubs know that his knee is a lot worse than what people think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having come back from injury and then been straight back to where he was before, it's a big one, and you know, we wish him well with his recovery. We hope that it's not, you know, as we've sort of said just then, but very, very good for Newcastle Jets. One question that was raised of me, and I had to say I didn't know this, was a good mate of mine, who I play soccer with all year long. His girlfriend's father's a Newcastle Jets fan. They can't get the new jersey. They still can't get the new jersey at the shops.
Apparently, it's going to be available after Christmas or at the latest after New Year, but that is still speculation.
Incredible. What is going on with Newcastle Jets?
It's not just Newcastle Jets. A lot of other clubs are having similar things. Yes. Brisbane Roar's tops sold more than they've ever sold, and people are struggling to get them for Christmas for people.
Mm.
But to not get it.
At all. Even before Christmas.
It's incredulous.
It's more has to be made of that. And I'd urge...
Who is the actual manufacturer?
ISC.
Who make cricket jerseys, but
and some of the rugby league tops, yep. I believe, yeah, as well. Yeah. So they're not a small company.
No. But you wouldn't want to go signing with small companies. And that was one of the issues with Reebok back when every club had to be a Reebok jersey. Couldn't get jerseys. And even on game day, they were having to wash jerseys and change names and numbers so that they could get onto the park. So it's really not good enough, and more has to be made about it. I urge everyone to get on Twitter and say, "I want my Newcastle jersey #."
Well, I'm not sure if I do want a Newcastle jersey top, but they do look good.
They do look good.
You could look like Barcelona or like Newcastle United. So they're your choices right there.
Yeah.
But moving on to Perth Glory versus Gold Coast United. Now this game was pretty much a snore fest.
It was a punish. It was a massive punish. I was really happy because at 10 o'clock, I was like, yeah, I might watch some football, see what's on, you know, a live game at 10 o'clock at night.
Lead in to the Premier League.
Yeah, lead in the Premier League. Great curtain raiser, but it was hard to watch.
Well, it was two penalties. The first one scored by Milos Stojovski, second one scored by Shane Smoltz, and that was it. Just two penalties in the game, really.
Well, can I ask you outside of this game, what is going on with sharing penalties in the A-League?
Yeah.
Like last week, Kerry Kuehl took one, and then I think Carlos
Hernandez took the other.
Don't you have a designated penalty taker?
Well, the interesting thing last night, and I thought maybe Millet would get the second one, given that his wife's just given birth again, and that you saw the celebration.
The cliche, rocking the baby.
Yeah. But it was nice. It was a good touch, and a lot riding on that game, and to just say that your family's got a new addition this week, you get the chance to score a goal, not very professional. I would have thought second goal, or maybe even fourth goal, you'd allow that to happen.
So maybe Shane was a little bit cranky when he didn't get the first penalty and went, nope, taking a second one.
That's right. Well, he has to. I mean, he's clearly the first choice penalty taker in any club in the A-League.
One of those penalties actually came from Zach Anderson, a debutant for Gold Coast United.
Yeah.
Now, what happened was he jumped up and handballed the ball. I actually have a bit of audio of what was going through his head at the time when he went through this.
I believe I can fly.
I believe I can fly. That's up there with the oddest sound bites we've played. And we play some odd ones.
We do.
But it was an odd handball, wasn't it? I mean, what on earth? A bloke is on debut. Cross gets played over. There are three Gold Coast defenders camped under it. And he just puts his hands up like he's doing the set in volleyball.
Jezelenko, your beauty.
It was Gold Coast Suns-esque. You know, if it doesn't work out for him on debut for Gold Coast United, maybe he can get an AFL contract.
Definitely. I think that is a huge possibility for him.
It was just laughable. It was one of those things where you just kind of go, what's he doing? Why has he got his hands up there for one? How do you head a ball with your hands up there? And then his reaction to the referee afterwards, like, what kind of a decision was that? Well, everybody saw it.
I honestly think he might have been listening to a bit of hip-hop and so forth and had the headphones in. It was, put your hands up in the air. That was just...
Well, Eminem's been around this week. He's in the country, and I think Zach Anderson was sort of doing a bit of a homage to Mr. Marshall Mathers with that piece of work. It was atrocious defending. Atrocious defending.
But funny. Funny nevertheless.
Yeah.
Definitely.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Now we're going to get into a bit of W League and Youth League action. Pete Novakovsky has a bit of a roundup from around the grounds.
It was week 7 of the W League, with major results being Melbourne Victory getting a 2-1 win over Newcastle Jets, Brisbane Roar sharing the points with Canberra with a 2-2 draw. Now, this game was pretty big. Probably the biggest game of the round, majorly for the scoreline there, Sydney FC 11-0. 11-0 over Perth Glory.
We repeat, 11-0.
11-0.
11-0.
11-0.
That we've seen some.
I was really disappointed because I think how many people were on the bench for Sydney? Probably three.
Yeah.
Okay, so why wasn't it 14-0? Because it looked like they were trying to get a goal for every player who represented the club. I was really disappointed.
Well, we did see a hat-trick for Renee Rollison, Kylie Ledbrook, as well as to Leon Karmas, with the goal to Kaya Simon, who Roshek has professed his love for many, many times.
She can score goals, and yeah, she's a great footballer too.
If you had said she can score with me, I was out here.
No. I wasn't going there. I was not going there, for the record.
And for that reason, we're going to walk away from the W League for a moment. For the National Youth League, it was also week 7, with results being AIS losing 2-0 to Melbourne Heart, with Sydney FC having a 4-4 draw with Brisbane Roar. A massive, massive result. You don't see 4-4 draws enough, I don't think. We should see more of them.
Well, usually you see them in the relegation scraps right at the end of the Premier League season in England. But
or if Arsenal lead 4-0
against Newcastle. Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, you've always got to ask questions of a defence when 8 goals are scored in a game. But great drama. Great for the punters.
I'm just rapt. I mean, Brisbane Roar supporter, the men are on top, the women are second or third, and the boys are on top. It's a pretty good feeling for the club.
It's a good day to be a Roar supporter.
It is. Well,
unless you guys are saying that we're going to lose today.
Yeah. Well, Sydney do play Brisbane Roar this afternoon at Oakey Jubilee Stadium, and it's down in Cogra. It's a funny ground. We're going to head down there, aren't we, boys? You've got your Brisbane Roar jersey on, don't you?
I've got the away top on. I thought, represent.
Yeah, good work.
Yeah,
and that way you match the players. I like it.
Now, I had a very, 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 very vivid dream this morning before we got up and we did the podcast.
And the football one as well.
Well, this dream was almost better than the dream you're alluding to. Sydney FC 2-0 over Brisbane Roar. That's where I was. That's
had the same result as your other dream, though.
Look, honestly, it was so real. I woke up jubilant and then realised that I hadn't been to a game of football.
I like the bit that you woke up jubilant and we're going to Jubilee. This could work.
Tricky.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting for both clubs to go to a stadium that not much football has traditionally been played at, especially between A-League teams. Sydney played a game in pre-season there. They got a little bit of a history with that ground, but Brisbane Roar going for number 37, going to a funny ground, the preconditions are there.
Oh, look, I think every week people keep saying that the we're aiming to beat the Roar. I think Roar is aiming for the entire season. We've spoken about that before. And even if you guys do win today, and you may do, I don't think it's going to be the end of the Brisbane Roar.
Oh, absolutely not.
By any stretch.
Yeah, absolutely not. They're a phenomenal, phenomenal club. Great players in every position. And I can't wait to see them play Champions League football.
I can't wait to actually see this game. And I think one of the players from the opposition, and I'm really excited about the way he's playing at the moment, is Nicky Carl. And I really can't wait to see how we match up defensively against him, because he's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. And also the Caltechs support, which are on their shorts, are definitely supporting Nicky Carl as well, because that's who manufacture all his hair gel.
Nice.
I'm just jealous having no hair myself. So, Nicky, if you keep that hair up, I love it.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to get into a couple of rants now. There's been a fair few things in the last couple of rounds that I think you get a fair idea of where we're going with this. Some controversial decisions. Here we go.
Well, are we ranting right now? Are we going to really pump this up? I am sick of people bagging the referees. I've had a gutful of them. They aren't good. Let's admit it. They are absolutely crap. But they've got no support. Where is the National Foundation for these coaches? Where is the money going into them? We keep talking about clubs, keep talking about players. I've had a gutful. Let's support the referees. It's a hard game. No referees, no game. Let's put money into their development. Let's get some professionals. Let's get them out of their workplaces, training 5 days a week, reviewing decisions, looking at video. We've got a professional league and amateur referees. Not good enough.
And look, it's an excellent point that Paul raises, and it's an issue with world football. There is no professionalism in referees. They don't get paid for that to be their primary income. There's no referees union like there is for players. What can you expect? But, blokes having a go, or even women, for that matter, I shouldn't say blokes, people having a go, without the support and the backing of a professional body behind them.
I'm still fired up. I honestly cannot believe when I found out that there's not one professional at this stage. Is there any professional referees, as far as I'm concerned? There's not.
There's no. It's not a vocation.
How can we be putting all this money into a game, a product that's on TV, and not have at least a base of professionals? It's incredible that we don't have.
And that's why all of these souped up egos running around in Europe, behave the way they do around referees. If referees were remunerated, not to that extent because it's unsustainable, but, were not, second class or even fifth class citizens to some of these souped up egos that run around like Balotelli, they'd have a chance. But you have to respect them. You have to respect them. They pull on the jersey, they have the whistle, and someone has to do it. And it's just that some of the decisions this year have been unforgivable.
Okay.
Some of the penos.
We're talking about supporting referees. Brisbane Roar, it's the 87th minute. Go into the box. Izzy takes a fall. Just takes a fall, doesn't get touched.
Yep.
Penalty, Brisbane Roar. Are you going to be supporting the referee at that point in time? I just want to ask your honest opinion about that.
It's a really, really tough call to make. Obviously, it's I generally like to make a neutral stance here, and I would like to say that I would always support the referee in whatever he does, even if he makes a load of rubbish. And I would like to also think that Mark Shields, the head of the referees here in Australia, would know that when someone has made a mistake that they can fix it. But I guess it's all due to the context of the situation.
Yeah, spot on. And I really think that it's a hard game. It's a hard game to referee. It's a very simple game to referee as well, but it's a hard game to referee. Those split second decisions that result in a goal which change a game are part of the reason why we're all human and we all love the game so much.
Video review?
No.
Yeah, I don't.
Just putting it out there.
I don't think so. I think you can have goal line technology.
No.
Really?
I'm sticking with Michel Platini and saying referees behind the goal, extra support. And that way you're guaranteed.
I can support your not wanting video replays in a game. I cannot support your not wanting the goal line technology, because these are absolutes. This is something that can be put in tomorrow, and it's something very simple. It's going to be very rare that would be brought up. If the actual foundations of it are put into place and it's very clear what they can actually go to, the kind of decisions they can go to, we'd be insane with our modern technology not to do it.
Has yeah. Sepp Blatter been whispering in your ear again?
Well, yeah. Blatter only come round when the politics were right. Yes, Blatter doesn't believe in anything.
Look, after this podcast, we're not going to bag each other. We're just going to shake hands and walk away.
Well said, well said. Well, we're going to talk Smith Review very, very quickly before we wrap it up, which is a shame because it's a very wide-ranging report. It's 8 years on from the Crawford Report, which was really the blueprint for everything we appreciate today. These reports aren't Mickey Mouse things. A lot of work goes into them. The change this time that we've seen with the Smith Report, or the Smith Review, is that it's come off the back of the World Cup failure, the bid failure. It's come at a time when a lot of government money is going into the A-League, and so it's been overwhelmingly positive. The view and the perfect distillation of the actual landscape of football in this country, it's been right in the main. You know, it focuses on the playing base. The participation base growing, our ranking going lower and lower and lower, which is an excellent thing. And the fundamentals of the report are absolutely correct, although it comes off the back of spending $45 million on a World Cup bid, which garnered one vote. So there is some focus on making it more sustainable and have it able to stand on its own two feet. But Paul, you have read the entire review. What is it, 58 pages?
48 pages.
48 pages from cover to cover. What's your view?
I wish I had a bit more context in terms of, is there going to be, in 3 months' time, a formalised report? Is there then going to be formalised points that the FFA have to get to, which I didn't read from that report. I did think it was very generalised.
Yep.
I think it was very protective of our game in a lot of ways, and I was actually disappointed in that. I would have liked the report to say, hey, if you don't do A, B and C by set periods of time, then these will be the ramifications.
Yep.
I think that football pundits, as we've spoken about off air, these points are not surprising. I think any of us, even without much consultation, could have put a lot of those points together.
Yep.
And that was what I was more disappointed about.
Mm.
Now, you talk about leadership. One thing the report didn't bring up is that the chief financial officer, I believe, for the FFA, we're actually going through our sixth advertisement for a chief financial officer in the last 5 years. I think in the Financial Times on Friday.
Wow.
I think it was our sixth in 5 years.
Yep, correct.
This is just glossed over. This is insane.
That's something I'm not aware of. And you talk about, you know, changes in leadership and Sydney FC having a new coach every season. The CFO is a big position. Massive position. And I was totally unaware of that.
And just furthermore, in terms of the recommendations from the report, if you don't want to read the whole 48 pages, it's 10 or 11 points? 11
there
points,
are 11 points which are covered in the review. The first one being the most obvious one, saying A-League clubs develop stronger links with grassroots. Now, that is probably the most obvious answer right there.
And it's a massive revenue stream that hasn't really been tapped into. When you've got 1.7 million people playing the game, that's almost one in ten. Mm. It's an incredible thing. And you really have to make and find ways of people who play the game, who absolutely love the game, going to the game.
Something that we don't do is compare ourselves to the MLS.
Mm.
And some people will bag MLS, but I think we really should look at the MLS. Very similar. They have the same kind of youth playing in football, the same numbers, and yet they don't transition on as supporters or players further on. Maybe we need to use them as a guiding point as well.
Okay, so the second recommendation for the Smith Review is FFA should explore ways of further enhancing the existing A-League committee structure.
Well, there you go. I mean, it says it all. There's so much consolidating to do at this point in the A-League's development. The consolidation really is the name of the game. You've got clubs, there's brand recognition out there, and it's time to you know, entrench it and bed it down, and that's a key thing.
I guess the biggest recommendation, which is actually on this list, is recommendation number 3, which is, until the A-League is self-sufficient, measures supporting clubs' drive to sustainability should be explored. Basically, we're saying that new clubs won't be created until the current clubs are economically stable.
Do a control F on the document if you've got it online and, yeah. and find the word sustainability, how many times it's there. It's there throughout the whole thing.
If you were playing the sustainability drinking game, you will be pissed by the time that you finish reading this report.
I'm doing it after this. The other side to that is that if you, the consolidation of point two, just quickly, is more about the state federations consolidating with football, Federation Australia. We talk about economic sustainability with point three, but in the same document, we're talking about developing the Western Sydney team. So it's like, we must get the Western Sydney team. You must get the Western Sydney team, which seems to kind of go against what they're just asking there.
Well, you can't stand still in business. And Frank Lowy knows that better than most. He's, you know, last 5 years in Westfield have been phenomenal. He's built so many different things and all through a global financial crisis. Let's not forget, this is just a review. It's not binding on anybody. It is sort of saying to us, well, look, the government money's been coming and we're looking at maybe tapering back on it. It is written, it's an independent review, but it is asked for to be done by the government. It's called for by the government. And there's been a lot of money that's been fed into the game and we can't have that forever. I think that's what it's saying.
Of course.
And of course not. But we're not about to go and freeze player wages and we're not about to go and freeze investment into the game because that is where you go down.
Yeah. But don't worry, if you haven't already read this review, we do have a link up on our Facebook page to it, so that way you can get in touch and read the review, find out everything you can, and there are plenty of pundits out there who are writing reports about this. Craig Foster, for instance, just wrote one this morning for the Sydney Morning Herald, so it's worth having a read of that. But for all your A-League news views, as well as W-League reports, check out the Football Stacks website. We have absolutely everything you could ever want.
It's an absolute information base, isn't it? So, yeah.
It's brilliant. I recommend it to everyone. Does Craig Foster in his article talk about Barcelona?
No, he doesn't.
Does he say world class?
I have to. Do a control F on world class. You'd have to find that in there.
No Barcelona, that's for sure. Wow. And first class does not exist.
World class?
There you
or just
go.
What about the world class? We know he flies first class.
And class. Wow. Class?
Class, let's see. No.
This has been not written by Craig. This is a shadow article.
It is. It is. That's right. Well, look, listen, that's all we've got time for on the Football Sack podcast. We could talk for hours and hours and hours, and we probably will continue all the way through the afternoon because there's a big game. It's Sydney against Brisbane. It's at Oakey Jubilee Stadium. We're all going. We're pumped for this one. I'll see you this afternoon, Pete. Thank you very much for being on the decks.
No worries. Always happy to be here.
And our very special guest, Paul Fredrickson, down in Sydney, for the first time on the Football Sack podcast, probably the first of many. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, guys. I'll be up the other end giving you grief.
All right. Thanks very much and enjoy your weekends.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.